It's back to school time throughout our region. We check in with classes at the largest school district in the cities. It's time for the summer to wind down and the school year to begin. In the largest school district in the cities, that means new school construction and new plans to address students' education. How is Davenport trying to improve math and English scores? And how are moves in the state legislature affecting the classroom? We talked with Davenport Community School District Superintendent T.J. Schneckloth.
Welcome.
What are you wearing? Congratulations.
Absolutely.
I mean, such great news for the school district. Roger Craig, Hall of Famer, being honored as well in Davenport with, well, you tell me.
Well, I thought I'd wear his Hall of Fame enshrinement shirt today.
I like that.
The entire Quad Cities was watching upon that speech and just everything that he has meant to the community. It means so much through several generations. And so it was so cool to see part of his speech. He's standing there wearing his Davenport Central track outfit, but just talked about the community and his upbringing. And I think that says a lot about the Midwest and particularly the Quad Cities. And he really embodies that spirit. And it was really cool to see on the national, see our little area of the world on the national stage. And he really, he has represented us very well all throughout his career and continues to do so, obviously, as the enshrinement speech was pretty incredible.
And he's being honored by the Davenport School District as well. Will be always linked to the athletic field here.
Absolutely. When you drive up Brady Street and you see historic Brady Street Stadium, it is now Roger Craig Stadium. On September 11th, we will pull the curtain back and reveal the beautiful branding that's all over the stadium. And what an excellent example for everyone to realize what's possible. You know, he's one of the, I think he's only the second Hall of Famer out of the state of Iowa.
Sounds about right.
Warner's the only other one, maybe.
You're right.
But what an incredible accomplishment. And when you think about him, you think of high knees and hard work, right? And I think if everyone did that in their life, they'd be successful. So why not have that be the image you see when you drive up Brady Street?
Nice way to kick off the new school year as well. So tell me about the new school year. I know you're always excited to welcome the students into the new classrooms.
Well, we have a lot going on this summer, and we're going around and seeing the buildings, they're all fresh and clean.
Yes.
They have that brand new book smell to them. Everybody remembers that from their childhood. But we've got several renovations going on right now. In one of our elementary schools, we're putting carpet everywhere to help with the sound. Mm-hmm. And we believe that's going to create a beautiful environment in that building, Madison Elementary School. But two new buildings going up, a renovation at North. We've got a lot of very exciting things going on right now.
Why don't we start with that? Because the smart, subtle construction projects are underway right now.
Yeah.
How important is that for keeping these schools vibrant?
When you think about building a school, you expect it to be around for almost 100 years. So what's going on right now at Sudlow and Smart? So when you drive down Locust Street and you see that beautiful building going up, it's being constructed in a state-of-the-art way to where it will incorporate house models, to where when you start on the first floor, you start as a Sudlow Tiger and the orange and black and the orange crush and all of that. And as you move up, you start to see the sprinkling in of the Davenport Central colors. So it's a symbol that our students come in as middle school students and they leave middle school ready for Davenport Central. And so the two schools, one built in the east side of Davenport, one built in the west, and they have the same exact characteristics. They're going to transform the educational opportunities and experiences in both those areas for generations to come.
Because it's more than bricks and mortar, of course. It's also location, location, location when it comes to schools. Tell me about how it is going to transform education.
Well, facilities matter. You look at when we built the new pool at Davenport Central, handful of years later, all the school records are broken and they finished third, about 4 or 5 years ago, they finished third in the state only to Waukee and Johnston. Mm-hmm. And so they matter. And when you look inside these brand new buildings, they're built on collaboration. They're built on the things that our community knows will outlast the next age. Curiosity, collaboration, resiliency. So there's spaces for students to come together and collaborate. There's spaces for students to meet one-on-one. There's spaces, the classrooms are set up in a team orientation way. And so, plus they're beautiful. The hallways are bigger. It's more opening, more inviting. And so it's a beautiful environment for students to really turn the corner into this next age that we're heading into.
Well, as you well know, North High School wasn't supposed to be a high school. I mean, it was built as a junior high school, if I'm correct. Yeah. And it always has gotten, I don't know, short shrift by some. And now a major construction project there, lifting that school to a new plateau as far as high schools are concerned. How is that going to be special at North?
Oh, 100%. That's a great question. 1985. Last time the Bears won the Super Bowl. That's when Davenport North was turned into a high school, and it was built as a high school. So this is a promise going all the way back to 1985.
Right.
And there's a lot, people remember that in our
they
community.
Do. Yes, they do.
And so we are renovating the science rooms into actual science rooms. We are brand new cafeteria, a drive up to where it's easily identifiable. Our athletic section, new weight room, additional courts, and we're taking we're utilizing the pool for our feeder system program there. And so the classroom, we're going to get through the majority of the building with classroom renovations. We're also renovating our CTE spaces in the back. So what the look, the feel, and the experience are completely different. They're matching that of world-class high school. And, you know, when I said facilities matter, in the last, we put field turfs and renovated the weight rooms and things of that nature. We've got a new auditorium in the last 10 years there. They have award-winning fine arts. And this past couple of years, Davenport North's football team went to the playoffs for the first time in school history. They lost to a team that went to the state title. Ears are perking up there. Like, wait a minute. It barely lost to that team. And the soccer team just made state for the first time, and mm-hmm. they lost, and they didn't think they should have lost to a team that won the state title. So the ears are perking up a little bit all over Davenport on things like that. So the experience will be completely different.
How tough is it to be building a school while school is in session?
It's impossible.
Yeah, I mean, you got kids being dropped off, yeah. especially elementary schools, and you've got a lot going on all at one time.
It's absolutely impossible, but when you think about what it is that we're trying to accomplish, our building level leaders, our teachers, and our students and families, they know and understand what's coming, and so there is a little bit of flexibility. We have to know that. You know, drop-off can be difficult, so we have to give a little bit of grace, and both ways, grace from the community and grace from the buildings, and so the building leadership. And so it's almost impossible to plan for, so we just look for the best possible pathway forward and move in that direction, and that's what our leaders are doing.
Well, as you know, critics would say the Davenport school system is losing students. You've already got competition from other areas. Why would you be building new buildings?
No, that's an excellent question. So it's not about adding new buildings, because what we did is we are right-sizing. So when you look, the majority of our buildings in our districts are over 100 years old. And so we're in this decision phase. Do we renovate or do we build brand new? When our school board looked at renovating Sudlow, the cost was, let's say, estimated $45 million. For $51, you can build a brand new building. So when we looked at renovating the older buildings that we have, the school board decided that it would be better if we built brand new. And so the other thing that we're doing is we're looking at, if you look at these main investments, they're regionally. And we know that the distance in between those, we now have three rock solid buildings in those areas. So not only are we planning for the now, but we're planning for the future. Those buildings are, there shouldn't be any maintenance on them for 10 to 15 years. So now we know that allows us to be mobile in a time when enrollment's declining. So we have great facilities.
Let's talk about the enrollment, because you're under more competition. You've got the school voucher system in Iowa, which has been playing out over the last few years. You got charter schools that are either starting or somewhat established. Do we know the full impact yet on the Quad City's largest school district?
Yeah, so we do enrollment projections, and we count every month all of those things. And we put it in a cadence, and over the course of a year, we do five-year projections based off of that. And we've been doing that for about 5 years now. And so we believe that with the educational savings accounts, the vouchers, that we now have going in, going out, close to it. And in our with the declining population in the Quad City area, you're not going to see people adding buildings to their district, because it's just you might see people replacing buildings like we are. So we believe that the number of seats that are going to be here are the number of seats that are going to be here. So we could count that. The only thing that we have troubles with are when charter schools pop up, and because they're very quick, they come in, and you just don't know which one's going to take off. And so that has been a little volatile and unpredictable. But the only thing that we can do is be the best option for people. The things that I'm talking to you about today are what's going to make us the best option. I'll give you an example. The phase one that you're seeing now with the new buildings and the renovations, phase two is preschool. We believe one of the best things that we can provide is a high quality preschool experience for 80% of our families. Right now we're servicing about 51 to 55%. Mm-hmm. We're gonna get that number up to 80% by adjusting our facilities and regions. And we believe that that's gonna make us a better choice and a great experience for our families. It also is going to help us attack our early literacy gains that we want to see in our district. And so I kind of went off there a little bit, but we are looking at the trends. The only thing we really can't predict is the charter school movement. And we do a lot of collaboration in our area with the other superintendents about what are you seeing, what are you doing, because it just helps us all in this area.
But you do bring up preschool, which is an important issue, because correct me if I'm wrong, with the closure or the change with the YMCA at North, there was a loss of a preschool program there.
So the programming at North, we 100% have the space for every student that was there.
So no loss.
No loss.
So that's the good news.
That's good news, yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about, because we talk about bricks and mortar, but it's also education as well. And you take a look at the state report card, and whether you like it or not, it does say that Davenport schools need improvement. That's their listing. Sure. Do you think that the scorecard is fair? And you know parents are looking at that. You know people who are moving to a community are looking at that. They look at these state statistics and they go, uh-oh.
No, that's a great question. For us, we are attacking some of those issues. For example, the early literacy components that we're working on, preschool is one of the best things that you can do for that. Our students that go through a preschool almost close all of their literacy and learning gaps by second grade who attend one of our preschools.
Because they say the key to reading is if you're proficient by third grade and you're advancing at third grade, it makes a huge difference for the rest of your academic life.
100%. And so our goal is to close that gap by implementing high quality preschool. The second thing that we're doing is we put every single one of our early elementary teachers through letters, which is the science of reading. If you look at what happened in Mississippi, they went from one of the worst report card, you know,
dramatic change,
the Mississippi miracle. We are following that playbook. So the science of reading, language essentials for teachers of reading and spelling, that's what letters stands for. I can't believe I got that right.
Nicely done.
Purchased with a high quality curriculum and high level coaching and intervention where necessary for students that aren't meeting. That's the blueprint. And we've been on a 3-year journey with that. And so We are noticing some changes, and hopefully as that system becomes ingrained, we're going to see drastic changes over the next 2 to 5 years. And so the other thing that we are doing is we are partnering with the Department of Ed, and we are our 7 buildings that are the highest need in Davenport. We are partnering with the University of Virginia and their Darden School of Business. They created a program that allow educators to attack issues like businesses would. And it is almost like a sandbox for Davenport schools to put in systems that are tried and true and know that work. And so we're using this as the as almost like our sandbox, and then we're going to implement those in, those system initiatives across our district. I'm very excited about this work.
What about the math portion? Because when it comes to proficiency, once again, math proficiency in Davenport, according to the scorecard, 55% proficient. The statewide average is 73. That's a huge drop-off.
So we are, it's the same exact thing. It's the same blueprint for reading as it is for math. So implement our new curriculums, interventions. The other component that we do is we, our teachers regularly meet, look to see who needs what, and provide the intervention and recorrect instruction. So it's the same exact, what works here works there, and that's the path that we're on to really move that forward. We also, some of the key components for us is that our turnover and our staff are down. We have our highest hiring rate that we've had in a long time, and it continues to grow up. That stabilizing of staff, our administrators are staying in the positions that they're in. So we are stabilizing that in a really tough time. We're moving towards stabilization in that area. And so those types of things are helping as well. Last year, we were the first in the state to settle all our contracts, which allows us to go out and be aggressive with our hiring. So those types of things really help us move that needle forward.
Another area is technology in the schools, and then let's start with the cell phone issue. The state has created new regulations for school districts. Many of the school districts already did that. It was more of a standardization, and you've actually had it implemented for a while. What have you noticed in Davenport schools where there were specific cell phone regulations, not necessarily bans, but regulations?
Anecdotally is what we have. And when we interview kids, we talk to classes, it's like, well, I don't like it, but really I do interact with my friends more. Lunch is a little bit more fun. I'm doing more face-to-face.
Well, the argument, the two arguments is you're treating us with children, like children, but not as adults. And the other thing is that if something terrible happens, they don't have access to their phone.
No, that's...
Those are the two real concerns among kids, it appears to me.
So for us, we tiered it. So in our elementary schools, there's no reason for a kid to have a cell phone. Just don't ever see it. In our middle schools, it's off and away. So we don't see it, it doesn't get taken. And so in our high schools, no technology in a learning environment. So they can have them in the hallways, they can do these other things. And so we gradually take that approach. And so, to your question, you know, don't treat me like an elementary. So we've taken that approach to it, and it has really changed the culture inside of our classrooms. And so some of the legislation that comes down is really beneficial. And that was one that was like, nope, do it. And it was, we put a lot of time and effort and thought into it as adults in across the state, and it ended up being a nothing burger. We put it in place. Everyone said, okay, and that was it. You know, we take a phone here or there, but really, it really does, has helped with attention and also building relationships, interpersonal relationships. It's kind of cool.
Well, I interrupted you because you said you're looking at it anecdotally, how well it's doing. What have you noticed?
Well, when you talk to kids, you know, they're not
just
happy about it.
Just a greater acceptance.
Yeah, they're not happy about it, but they're like, yeah, I actually do find myself taking better notes and staying focused in class. And obviously that leads to better grades, better test scores, better achievement for students.
And we're seeing it district-wide, district after district. We only have a few moments left. The legislature has already, you know, passed a number of laws in this last session. A new session, of course, is coming. Their focus really seemed to be post-high school education in this last session. Is there anything particularly onus that is going to impact Davenport schools in this coming school year that was passed in the last legislative session?
You know, our legislators are really passionate about the bills and laws that they're passing. And so they want them enacted right away. And the things that we struggle with is making the rules and regulations and then putting them in our buildings. And so we've worked really hard all summer long to understand the exact law, but then the intent of the law, talking with legislators. And so the eighth grade sports, that's been a big one this summer. You know,
you
you're kind of building the plane in the air because once it was enacted, sports start, right in August. And so do we allow this sport? Do we not allow this sport? Which, you know, what about that generational athlete? You know, Ricky Davis's name comes up all the time. And, you know, in our area, we have generational athletes that come through all the time. So what do you do with that? You know, so that's been a big talking point, and we really haven't had enough time to plan it out. So we're just doing the best that we can across the Quad Cities to come up with a plan for that. That's one, and then the behavior legislation is another one.
Right.
So, you know, what do those laws and rules look like? How do they interact with our current policies? And so we're doing emergency policy meetings, trying to get everything in place to where we could start the year with some common procedures. And so those are the two biggest ones we're really focused on out of the gate.
Few seconds left. What do you tell the incoming students for the class that's going to attend 2026, 2027?
This is going to be one of the most exciting years in Davenport schools. We're opening two brand new schools. There's incredible momentum. If you look at what our students accomplish over the course of the year, we have national champions. Our fine arts programs go all across the country, even the world, to perform. We have our athletic programs are out there working as hard as can be. You can do anything you want in Davenport Community Schools. You can go to an Ivy League school, or you can jump into a trade and begin your career right away. And so those opportunities are at our students' feet as we start the school year. I couldn't be more excited.
Our thanks to Davenport Community School District Superintendent T.J. Schneckloth. With many schools not yet open, you might be ready to take in some great events in our area for you and your family. Here's a couple of ideas you might consider. Thanks to Visit Quad Cities.
Check out the things to do this week in the Quad Cities. Start your week off by attending Open Mic Night. Bring an instrument and your friends and enjoy. Next, watch the classic movie Wizard of Oz come to life as a musical adventure at Circa 21 Dinner Playhouse. Next, head to LeClaire for some of your favorite food trucks. Enjoy great food, great views, and great live music. Then step into a world of color and fragrance and explore fields of flowers at Dandy Flowers You Pick Farm. Finally, watch as the Quad City Rollers take on the North Star Roller Derby at the River Center. For more events like these, check out our events calendar at visitquadcities.com.
Jason Carl and the whole damn band is well known in the local music scene, mixing traditional rock with a little bit of violin, harmonica, and even accordion. It's a crowd favorite. Jason says his original material is written and performed with honesty and passion. And that's what Jason brought to the stage when he joined us at the Black Box Theater. Here's Jason Carl with Yazoo River.
Thinking you should and knowing you could, time to just write, and you're feeling pretty good, but you're wondering if it would be alright. With nothing to hide, it's easy to decide, just move on over and have a look inside, but you're wondering why your mind is so uptight. I'm spinning around in my chair, but I just can't get you over to my side. There ain't no rules in there. It's a box your brain is in. It's a picture painted in your mind. With nothing to lose but an old pair of shoes, around this world almost any way you choose, and as long as things improve, you're doing fine. Keep moving ahead, making some bread, saving up a little like your old man said, with a pillow underneath your head every night. And I'm spinning, there ain't no rules in there. It's a box you bring. rain is in. It's a picture that's painted in your mind. And no one will say what's going on today. The real world ain't real no more. It's standing in your way. I take experience over pain every time. You gotta take another look. It ain't written in a book. You can get anything you want. Just talk directly to the cook. And as long as all that took, sure flew by. I said there ain't no rules in there. It's a box your brain is in. It's only a picture painted in your mind. Keep moving along through an ever-changing song. Well, you gotta do something before you're doing something wrong. And when you're living on the edge, it's a long, crazy life.
Jason Carl with Yazoo River. On the air, on the radio, on the web, and on your mobile device, plus streaming on your computer, thanks for taking some time to join us as we talk about the issues on the cities.